Thank you again for being here. We've been studying in the book of Psalm, chapter 23, which is quite familiar to most of us, but I don't know if you've been discovering, I've been discovering that I don't know as much about sheep and shepherding as maybe I thought I did. And so it was a very common illustration that they could have used back in the days of King David or even in the days of Jesus. But today, maybe we don't understand exactly what is discussed here in this chapter. And we know we like the chapter. It seems to bring a lot of comfort to us, a lot of peace, a lot of solace. Gives us some rest, perhaps, as we are going through a difficult struggle and a challenging time. And so just as a recap, we find that this psalmist has made a commitment to follow Christ, kind of like the song we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And so he's saying, I'm going to follow this shepherd, and I'm going to follow his lead. And so a lot of the songs we've been singing today are about Christ leading us, the Savior directing us, following in his steps. And the last song we just sang, going up to higher ground, which is really a little bit of what we're going to be discussing today, of moving up higher, getting stronger, building our relationship, and being able to trust Christ even more now than we did perhaps when we first started the journey of following the shepherd. And so we find that the shepherd gives us everything that we need. He gives us all that we require in order to grow or to thrive, and especially when we're talking about spiritual things. And then through the rest of the chapter, he's trying to share with us how does he provide and what areas would a good shepherd provide for his sheep and which of these areas would the Lord provide for his people. And then again, in the New Testament, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, and he is the one who leads us and guides us, protects us and feeds us. And so what does all of this mean? And so last time we found out that he gives us the rest we need. He makes us lie down. Even there's times where we don't feel like we need to rest or to recuperate. But there's times where the shepherd would make the sheep lie down because he knows even better than the sheep themselves that they need rest. They need a break. He provides them places where they could eat. They're actually lying down in the green pasture, so they've got plenty to eat. They go by the waters that are drinkable, that are fresh, that are clean, that the sheep can be revived from that. And then he restores our soul. Literally, perhaps when some of the sheep have wandered away, he brings them back. When some of the sheep have, under the stress of life, have found themselves turned upside down and just don't know what to do and really don't even know how to rescue themselves, because you can't when you're in that position. But you know that the good shepherd's going to come along and get you back up on your feet again. So that's kind of the background, the history of what we've looked at so far. And just kind of another shout out to our song leaders. So again, Joe does a fantastic job. Ken does a fantastic job every week of choose. I don't know, do you notice the songs kind of go with the lesson every week? Because they really do. They go really well. And I feel like some days I feel like I want to get up here first and say, watch the songs, listen to the songs, because this is what we're preaching on. And maybe we could take a test, and if everybody got the songs down, we could just forego the preaching. Because the songs say a lot of what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a man that was visiting here. I think it was his first time. He's from the Church of Christ down in Texas. And he said, I really like the songs. You must have told the song leader what you guys have been or what you're going to be preaching on, and so that you can all sing about it. And I said, yeah, we do. And he said, that's fantastic. And so, well, he was a visitor, and he noticed, so hopefully we noticed a little bit about how these things come together. So I really appreciate our song leaders making that effort to try to get the connection between what we're going to be talking about and what we sing about. Well, in Psalm 23, he goes on to describe a couple of more things that help us understand how he provides for our needs. How he provides in our times of challenge, in our times of difficulty, in our times maybe even of fear. So here in verse 3, he says, he guides me in paths of righteousness. Okay, so first of all, we see that he is not guiding us to paths of righteousness. It's not one day we can find a righteous place or we can be righteous. He's saying we are in righteousness. This is the path of, you know, we're not looking for something, you know, way beyond. Although in a way we're looking for the perfect green pasture called heaven. We're going to find out these sheep are also looking for something better in the future. But the path we're on now, we would call the right path. You know, when he talks about righteousness in the Bible mentioned many times, what does righteousness mean? Ultimately it means the way of God or the way that is right. Now, sometimes as the shepherd is leading us in paths of righteousness, don't we sometimes say, this must be the wrong path? There must be, this is not feeling very good. This does not look very good. I don't really see where this is going to end up. I don't see this being, something even in the future. Something that's going to be a blessing. And so sometimes we may question, what is going on here? If indeed we are following the shepherd, we're on the right path. But he's going to go on to say that not all the paths are comfortable. Not all the paths are easy. And so we need to understand that God is the one, through Christ, who guides us, who leads us on these paths of righteousness. And we may think, ultimately, God is doing that for our good. He's doing that so that we can find peace and happiness. But it's not only that, is it? Why is he doing that? It's for him. He's doing it because of his reputation. Because who did God say he was? He's the God of covenant. He's the God of grace. He's the God of love. He's the God all along who said, if you will follow me, I will lead you in these paths of righteousness. So God's not going to go against his nature. He's not going to go against his name. God doesn't want anybody to look at him and say, you promised this and you lied. God's like, I'm not lying. I'm going to be the God of covenant. I'm going to be the God that fulfills my promise. So he's doing this for his name's sake. Like, so his good name can stand. So we don't trust in ourselves. We don't do this because I am so righteous. I always follow the good shepherd, and I'm going to end up in heaven because I am such a good person. No, it's because he is the one who's righteous. He is the one who's good. For his name's sake, he is going to fulfill the promises that he has made. And so he said, I'm going to be with you all the way through. Would you just trust me? Would you just follow? And that's the challenge that I have a lot, right? Sometimes you just see things either in your own life, sometimes it's in somebody else's life, and you think, God, what are you up to? Why would you allow that to happen? So we sometimes question. But this shepherd, King David, is saying, I am going to trust God. I'm going to follow him. And that's a big statement that he's trying to make. He's trying to share with us, even in the most difficult times, I'm going to trust in him. So this is the next part. And perhaps when we read this psalm during funerals, maybe this is kind of what brings the comfort to people that even though... So this is not saying if perhaps you should in your life at some point. He's saying when this happens, even though is kind of when it's going to happen for all of us going through this valley, the deep valley, the dark valley. He's actually not saying this valley is death. It's the shadow of death. So it's just a great fear in our life. And perhaps it's said this way because one of the greatest fears that people have is what? To die. Why? We've never done it before. Like, what's that going to be like? Where's that going to end up? You know, is it going to be painful? Like, we don't know anything about death, really. Now, God has revealed some things to us, and certainly he's saying, as you're going through this, I'm still going to be with you. But the shadow of death is not death itself. It's just a shadow. So here he's saying, even though I walk through these deep, dark valleys, sometimes a shepherd had to do that with the sheep, especially after the winter. During the winter time, perhaps the sheep would stay down at the ranch. There's really nowhere else to go to eat because the grass is not green. It's not growing. It's not healthy. Sometimes they even had some snow in the Middle East. But generally, there was nowhere for them to eat. So the farmer, the shepherd, had to continually provide food. But in the spring, a lot of times, the shepherd would say, come with me. And the sheep would follow. Where are they going? They're going to what we call the higher ground. They're going to go up to the plateaus that eventually when all the snow is gone, the cold is gone, it rains, and there's going to be lush food for the sheep to eat. They just can't stay down home all the time. They've got to go out in the pastures. So we read through the Old Testament over and over again. You remember David when he was a young shepherd boy? He was way out in the pastures. You remember... Moses, when he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, way out in the pastures. So they would take the sheep out to find the green pastures. But in order to get to the higher ground, what do you have to do? You have to walk through the lower ground. You know, if you're going to go from one mountaintop to the other mountaintop, that kind of necessitates you going down into a valley. And when you're in the valley, then you can come back up again where you can find better food. So the shepherd is always moving the sheep around from, we'd say, pasture to pasture to find the best food. So it's through these valleys. And for a sheep, you know, we've discussed before, they don't have a lot of capability to protect themselves. They get easily agitated. They're easily fearful. They're easily moved. Okay, so here they're going through the valley. So in the valley, there's not a lot to eat. In the valley, there's fear. They don't know what's around. There may be other animals, predators that are in the valley, just kind of hiding. Even today with people in the military, right? When you're going through different countries, perhaps one of the worst places to go through is through a valley because an ambush could easily be set up. And so there's a little bit of concern. You're a little more cautious. And that's what these sheep are doing. They're very afraid of the valley. Part of the reason as well is in the valley, there's shadows. Because the sun is not always shining directly on them. Sometimes the sun is coming from an angle. And if you've noticed shadows, this is a challenge we have for shadows, and maybe the application for us is, if it's the shadow of death, it's not death itself, but what happens with sometimes with shadows when the sun or the light hits it from an angle? The shadow is oftentimes bigger than the object itself. Have you ever been in that place? Where you have been so afraid of something, there's something tomorrow that I'm very, very afraid of, and we realize that our imagination and our fear and our concern and our distress has made that much larger than what it really is. It's kind of like a shadow that's multiplied our concern. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow. Because if we're worried and upset and frustrated about tomorrow, and that's just in our mind over and over and over again, and we just dwell on that, and that becomes the object of our thinking and of our imagination. And a lot of times it doesn't even happen that way. This is sometimes the fear that people have. You know, what if I have a decline in health? What if I lose my job? What if the economy takes a downturn? What if something happens in the future to somebody that I love? All these what ifs. And these things can really bring us down. They can really change the way we live today. So he's saying, don't get caught up as you're walking through the valley on all these other things. Now this is why. So this is the part, maybe the biggest part we don't completely understand, not being shepherds. Right? So we've got this. We go through the valley. So what's going to help us through the valley? Well, you think, well, something great, something wonderful. There's going to be something really big. He's saying when you go through the valley, you don't need to fear evil. Don't fear. Don't fear what could happen, what might happen. Don't fear that there's an enemy lurking. There might be an enemy, but you don't have to worry. Because why? The shepherd is with me. That's why. It's not because I have other sheep with me. Other sheep are good. They're helpful. They're encouraging. We can say at least we're in this together. You know, if I was the only sheep, if a wolf came, who's the wolf going to go after? If we're all together, I just hope it's not going to be me. It's going to be, well, I didn't say that. But, you know, we're together. We're a family. We can support each other. You know, we can be with each other. But, you know, that's not going to save us, being together. Together is helpful, it's encouraging, but that's not where salvation comes from. The salvation comes from the shepherd. It's because you are with me. So there's great power in that, of us being together, but also really realizing ultimately it's the shepherd. So let me give you one illustration. And Mark Kreiderman is going to be so proud I worked it in this way. So this week there was the memorial service for Dick Boris. And Mark and Donna went up there, and one of the things that was mentioned was the number of cards of encouragement that kept coming in for Dick. And so he had them up on his windowsill and around his room, and they just kept coming and coming and coming. And so they really, really appreciated that. So Mark forgot to say that at the beginning. He told me don't forget this. So here we go. I worked it in. But that is encouraging. We can help each other. But ultimately, it's not the same as the reason I have no fear is because I trust in Jesus. He's the one who's going to see me through. He's the one who's going to help me. So this is the part, though. Thy rod and thy staff. How many people here have said, boy, this week, it's the rod of Jesus that comforted me. That rod. I love the rod. What is it? Well, if it's supposed to comfort us, what does that mean? The rod and the staff comfort us. So we may have a picture of what a rod is. So it sounds like the shepherd would have at least two sticks. One is the staff, one's the rod. The rod, we would say today, may be more like a spear or a javelin. So what does that do? That brings me comfort as a sheep because I know when the enemy comes, maybe it's another animal. Maybe it's a predator. Maybe it's another person that's trying to steal sheep. And I'm going to end up in the hands of another shepherd that doesn't really care for his sheep, but he's just a thief. Well, Jesus talked about that. Even Satan himself is a thief who comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. So that's who Satan is. But we don't necessarily have to fear that. Only if we trust in the shepherd, he's got the rod. He's going to protect us. Isn't that what David is saying when he met with King Saul and he was going up against Goliath? And what did David say? He said, when an animal came, I protected the sheep. I struck the sheep. Now, maybe he struck the sheep with his bare hands, but he said, there was a lion and a bear. Now, either David as a young boy, 16, 17-year-old, can you guys imagine that? I know you think you're invincible and you're buff at 16 or 17, but to think I'm taking on a lion with my bare hands, maybe. But also maybe he had a spear, he had a club, that at least he could use some kind of a weapon to kill literally a predator like a bear or a lion that's going to come and kill the sheep and take them away. Protection. Jesus is saying, you don't need to fear, I'm with you. And I've got the equipment. I've got what's necessary. There's nothing that can come and touch you because I've got my eye out. I'm looking over. I'm not falling asleep on the job. Trust me. So I've got the rod. And that's going to give you protection. So surely we should find some comfort in saying, I don't need to be afraid of predators because if they come, I can do nothing against them. But I've got a good shepherd. He's watching out for me. But the second thing is the staff. And that's maybe more of the picture we have of the long stick with the little curve on the top where the shepherd is able to keep the sheep together. Have you ever in your spiritual life, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, no matter where you are along this pathway as you're following Jesus, but you're a little bit afraid, you know, if somehow I get off the path, I might wander away. I mean, I'm pretty gullible. I'm easily influenced. You know, I've got a lot of pressure. I've got friends around me that they're encouraging me to take a different path. And, you know, what if I should begin to wander? Well, I can find comfort that my shepherd has a staff and he can just kind of give me a little tap sometimes and say, hey, come on back here. Now, how does God do that today? Time to sing the song, God works in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. We don't know. Sometimes it is through his word. Sometimes it's through a friend that may encourage us and remind us of what the good shepherd said. Sometimes he may work in our conscience and through our spirit and just try to redirect us as we are sincerely trying to follow him. As we're praying, God, lead me in the way. And so he will. And so we can take comfort in thinking, well, one day I just may be so busy, I'm so consumed with the things of the life, I've got my head down in the grass, and I'm enjoying it, and, you know, it's all good, and it's all fine, but, you know, after a while, I lift up my head, and I realize I've wandered. And I start looking around, and I don't see any other sheep. And I'm wondering where the shepherd is. But the shepherd still will come to rescue. He will come to try to bring us back. But the way the shepherd keeps the sheep together is through the use of his staff. And perhaps even in that case, sometimes even through the rod as well to bring us back to where we need to be. It's kind of interesting because if we're familiar with the Old Testament, we realize that Moses, you know, he had a staff. So what did you think of that? I mean, if you were following Moses and you said, you know, Moses without his staff, I mean, he's pretty good, right? You got it? But Moses with his staff, he's awesome, right? Because God is working. How did God work? He worked through the staff, right? Right when they did the miracles in Egypt? We call them plagues, but really they're miracles that God did through the staff. They got to the water's edge of the river, the Nile. What are they going to do? How are they going to go through? Now Pharaoh is coming with the Egyptian army, and they're afraid they're going to die. Now what does God do? He didn't tell Moses to say, abracadabra, stretch out your staff. It's your staff. It's going to give you life. It's going to save you. It's going to keep you in line. The staff is going to provide a path. And you're saying the path where? We're stuck. There's nowhere to go. We got the army behind us and the sea in front of us. God will make a way. And so comfort in the staff. Even David himself. You realize when David went against Goliath, what did he take? He took his sling and his, well, you got it, staff. So there was great comfort for a shepherd to keep the staff close by. And it was great comfort for the sheep to realize that the shepherd is on watch. And so through this, I don't have to fear evil. And so God over and over and over again in the Old Testament keeps on saying, do not fear. At least a couple of hundred times, do not fear. And quite often he'd end, because I am with you. Now, why in the world did God say that so often? Do not fear. Well, he said it a lot because sheep and people are prone to fear. It's like second nature, just what comes to us. And so we can get very afraid. What do we fear? Look what he says. Top line. It's like, oh no, we're going backwards now. I will fear, like there's a little bit of evil that I will fear, but most evil I'm not going to fear. I mean, because sometimes the evil is so big. Sometimes it's like out of control. Sometimes we see there's no solution to the evil. It's going to win. What does he say? Fear no evil. Now, this is what we can do when we say, I'll follow the good shepherd. Me, try to follow the good shepherd, have fear sometimes. You know, you go through seasons of fear, you go through seasons of dark valley, you kind of go through that, and it's like, you know, now what? But certainly there's consolation for us in our spirit and in our mind and in our heart. That I'm just going to continue to follow Jesus, and he's going to see me through. He's going to take me through the valley. Did you see that? Even though I go, what does he say there? Even though I go through the valley. The problem is there's some people, when they're in the valley, they decide they're going to set up shop. Hey, let's build a house in the valley where there's all kinds of danger and there's fear. Like there's no lush pasture. There's nothing in the valley. And so the valleys of our life, some people decide to stop and live. That's never meant to be. God doesn't want you ever to live in your valley. He's taking you through a valley to take you to a better place. Quite often, maybe Christians say, well, I would like to be in the place where everything is lush and peaceful. I look at some of the other sheep, and they seem to be spiritually mature. They seem to be growing. They seem to be strong. I want to be like them. And that's okay to aspire to something greater, but do you realize that for people to get up there to that level of strength and maturity spiritually, they've been through the valley. You can't get there unless you're in the valley. You got to go through the valley so you can ascend. And thus the song, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Keep moving to something that's better, because Jesus is with us. He is with us, and he is going to see us through. One of the things that we can count on is that Jesus knows the way. Jesus is the way. But you know, it would be one thing, you know, here you are a sheep, and you're going through a valley, and you say, I don't really know the way. I don't know what's up ahead. I don't know where the danger spots are. I don't even know where the creeks are, because we do need a drink soon. I don't know any of that. But let me tell you something. This is not Jesus' first journey through the valley. Like, he's been through the valley. See, if he's a shepherd, the assumption is he would do this every year. He is more familiar with this valley than anyone. He's been through the valley thousands of times. You're not the only one who's been through it. Jesus has taken many people through the valley. As a matter of fact, the interesting thing is Psalm 23. So let's say we are in the days of David, 1,000 years before Christ, and we're in the synagogue. And someone stands up and reads Psalm 23. You know what we may have read last week, especially if you're in a Wednesday night devotional at the Church of Christ, Royal Oak. Psalm 22. Well, that's good. What's Psalm 22 about? Now, we call Psalm 22 the suffering servant or the suffering savior. Psalm 22 has more prophecies about Jesus and his death and his suffering and his pain and his torture and his crucifixion than any other chapter in the Bible. So you're reading Psalm 22 and thinking, what this shepherd? Look what he's gone through personally. This is what Jesus has done. He's not just gone through it taking the tour. He's gone through it through experience. He's been through the dark valley. He's experienced dark days. He's experienced times of concern and isolation and the feeling of abandonment, of pain and suffering and loss. He's gone through it. So Jesus has gone through the valley, kind of like what Hebrews 12 says. Jesus has gone on before us. The author, perfecter of our faith, he has run the race and we are to follow him. He's been through the valley. So we trust in him and we grow through this because he can be trusted. Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. Again, what the people are doing in the days of Isaiah, they are going through and preparing for a very dark valley, which is Babylonian captivity. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. Sounds like the good shepherd, chosen sheep, you follow me. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is the Good Shepherd who's going to be with us no matter what we go through. No matter the pain, no matter the struggle, no matter the suffering, no matter how many questions we have, no matter how high our fear element gets, he is with us. He's not going to abandon us. We've got to stay with him. We've got to trust him. We've got to follow his lead and remain on the path. He has given us free will. And if you do want to wander away, if you do want to follow another shepherd, or if you just want to follow yourself and just kind of wander around, think, I can handle all of this. You're eventually going to find out you can't handle it all. You need someone to lead you, to guide you. In our world, people turn to all kinds of things for support, for encouragement, for direction, and for peace. But eventually they find out, you know, it can't be found in how big your bank account is, or how big your company is, or how many grades you get in school, or how well you do in athletics. Can't be found in what kind of a relationship you have with your spouse, or with your children, or with your parents, how many friends you have. That's not where it's found. It's found with the Good Shepherd. He's the one who's going to lead. And so we listen. We listen for his voice. He calls us by name. We follow him because we trust him. So this is the way Psalm 23 works out on a very personal way. For the most part, up to this point, David, the shepherd man, was a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd of sheep and eventually became a shepherd of people. But as he's talking about this good shepherd, his Lord, in the first few verses, this is what he would say. Because he's talking to us. He's talking to someone else. I mean, if you're willing to listen, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside the waters. He restores my soul and he guides me. So up to this point, David is telling us about Jesus. He's like just kind of bragging on how good God is in his life. This is what God does as the good shepherd. But he's going to change it up a little bit. Because now he's not going to be talking to you about the Lord. What does he do? Because we kind of think he's already gotten really personal here. Like he keeps saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And this is what he's going to do for me. But now he's not going to talk about God anymore. The last few verses, he's going to talk to God. You are with me. It's your rod and your staff that comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, and you will anoint my head with oil. So it's not just him talking to somebody else about God. It's him, Lord, I trust you so much, I need to talk to you. You're the one I need to call out to you. And so this becomes not only what we would call an evangelistic tool of sharing how good God is, but also a psalm of praise, speaking directly to God that you are such a good shepherd to me. If you want a good shepherd, I mean, maybe you've had other shepherds in your life, but if you want the good shepherd who loves you and cares about you and wants to lead you, and if you want to follow him today to say, I'm going to surrender all the other shepherds, I'm not following anyone else but Jesus. He is the one and only that I need, that I want, I will listen to, I will follow, I will love him because he is worthy. If you want to follow Jesus, you can do that. And you just, one way to do that is just to proclaim, Jesus is my Lord. He's the one who's in charge now of my life. I surrender it to him. Turn from our evil way to say, I'm not going to follow the wrong paths anymore. I want to follow Jesus on the right path. It's called repentance. And to be baptized into Christ, that you can start a brand new life. All the past can be washed away. And a new life begins as you follow Jesus. If we can encourage you, let's stand, we'll sing this song, and let us know how we can be a blessing.